Raptor-centric church family, it's Friday, and Raina needs an explanation. We have a saying, thank God it's Friday, which is in secular. So TJIF is thank Jesus it's Friday, because it's Friday. Thank you, Lord. Jesus is our pastor. I'll bring some people online here. Actually, before I do that, I'm going to say a quick prayer. Father, thank you for this lovely opportunity and this great church and family you've created in us, with us, and we share you. And we have that connection, which has transcended many problems. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us in this day. Help us to have the show and the service that you would like us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think that's Tana.
Yeah, this is Tana, right?
There,
hi.
There. Okay, hi, Tana.
Hi, love you all. I love you, Tana. I love you,
Tana,
everyone, everyone. And I love you, Jesus, most of all. I love you, Jesus. Praise you, and thank you for coming to us today. Yay.
Amen. And Pat? Pat is
here.
Oh,
hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How y'all doing? Love y'all.
Forget, yeah. And I think we have Keith.
Yeah.
Hi, Keith.
Hey,
you there?
Hi, Tana.
Hey, Tana.
Hi.
And I believe we have Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, guys.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Cool. So, anyway, I was going to start real quick by sort of catching up to myself briefly, and that is I had yesterday at the end of the show when I called in, I was talking about the number 17 and something I saw and I forgot to mention, and that is a lot of us have had different sort of 17 number experiences lately, and possibility of looking at August 17th, among other things. And the first occurrence of a word of that numerical value, the way it's counted, is in Genesis 1:4, which is, and God saw the light and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And one of the things that I wanted to mention about that, and I forgot to mention, was that the numerical value of the first word is good, is the word good, and it's 17. But the entire verse, the value of the entire verse, is 1776, which is obviously a number that's associated with the birth of this nation. But the other thing that it's associated with is the height of the new One World Trade Center tower, which they specifically made to be 1,776 feet tall.
Wow.
And then also on July 4th, 1776, Independence Day here, and I'll just remind people that that was Psalm Tammuz, a Jewish fast day, and a day that I think is associated with the birth of Jesus. So anyway, when I saw that 1776, I wasn't even looking for it, and I don't know, it just struck me as interesting. I know there's been a lot of people who have gotten visions and words about things in New York associated with post-rapture events or near-rapture events, and I just thought I would point that out. So that was sort of my catching up. That was the thing I saw when I was speaking and forgot to mention.
So
I think there's a lot going on, but I want to check and see if there's anybody that has anything they want to offer right now. Did they have anything?
I just have Lana. I can read that later, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Katie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm just ready to go. I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm constantly battling things in my mind, and it's just hard. But
amen. Welcome to the club.
Yeah. It's getting, you know, I'll find myself taking a nap, and I'll have these just terrible, like, thoughts. And I'm like, where did that come from, you know? It's like ongoing, but I'm just constantly having to pray and just, you know, I found myself being alone is the best thing. I just kind of had to get away from my family, my house, and just, you know.
Everybody's got something, honey, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I get it. Definitely get it. I think, you know, Katie, I've been feeling very similar to that, in that I'm feeling closer to him and more at peace with him, but more squeezed in other ways. And you know, it's not even related necessarily specific to any people. It's more like I just have less and less, I feel almost a repulsion to just the environment. And I think we're just getting closer and closer to him.
Yeah.
And we can just feel the difference between, you know, where we want to be and what we where we have been.
Exactly.
Anyway.
And it's hard because, like, for me personally, like, there's so much tension between me and my parents because, you know, they like, don't understand why I don't want to really talk to them like I used to, and I always tell them it's nothing against you, it's just I don't know, it's like God in me or something. It's like I can't, they're just so lukewarm right now, I can't really be around it. It's just hard.
You're not alone, honey. You're not alone.
No.
Yeah.
One of the things I tried to touch on yesterday, I didn't really put it into very good words, but I think today I can do it a little bit better. You know, this stillness and sense of peace that we sort of talked about yesterday, even God's stillness in us, I think it's because we're getting closer and closer to him. Our purposes are becoming more and more common, and to the point where the things that we do, the things that we feel on instinct, are his will, and he doesn't have to say things to us as much. And he wants us to work. He wants us to develop that, and so it, you know, it's like go forward in faith, but it's more than that. It's a closer, more symbiotic, if you will, relationship where we're together enough that there's a lot of these things I think that will come forth from us without a verbal or a word type of message between he and us. And then we have all the associated feelings that go along with that. Keith called back in. Keith, is that you?
Hey, everyone.
Oh, hi, Keith.
Hi, Keith.
Hey.
How you doing?
Okay.
And also Deb called in. I think that's Deb.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, Deb. Is that you?
Hey, Deb.
Deb?
Hi, yes, it's me.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi.
I love you.
Hi. I love you guys. Listen, I'm not in a place where I can really talk, so I'm just going to listen.
Okay, honey.
Been on vacation. I've been missing y'all. I just have to listen.
All right.
Okay.
Love you.
I'm just going to. No, I love you guys. I love you too, Deb. I'm just going to put her back on mute. So yeah, you know. Anyway, hopefully I put that in words that agree with how you feel. But that's been my realization. In fact, he almost told me as much yesterday that we're close enough now that he wants us to live. We just are we're close enough now that we're in a very common purpose. And while we're doing that, he doesn't need to say a lot of things to us, but we're all different. He also may, you know, continue to express those kinds of messages to us in different ways because, you know, I think, honestly, in my case, he speaks to me in a way that is in kind of my best communication mode. And quite frankly, that's probably well, I'm not sure how to describe that. But anyway, he knows. I just think, you know, he has his ways and we have a closeness to him, but he's also going to keep giving us what we need. Maybe it's just settle on that because that's really what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving us what we need. Because I don't feel, I mean, I just feel like it.
Why do you think, though, that we're so, like, I feel like it's just to a whole new level. We can't really be around certain people. Like, I don't know if it's like that with you guys, but
it's really hard.
You can't talk to them. They'll listen to you politely, but it's like, you know, you have two heads, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we're really almost literally not speaking their language, and they're living in a different reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're transitioning, and he is, let me make clear, he is transitioning us to a different reality.
Yeah.
It's his work, his doing, and I think we're feeling, I think we're feeling and seeing the effects of that, and we're not conscious as much that it's a transition as I think it really is. I think it's a bigger transition than we're aware of. And so we feel the results of it without being aware of how dramatic a change it is.
Well, I think Katie, plus you're sensing other people's darkness more, you know, you draw closer to God's light, you sense the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So
darkness,
and the Bible says darkness and light have nothing in common, you know. So,
right.
You know, as you get closer to God and feel His presence more, the darkness from them is going to affect you more. It's like a wound. You know, it's going to affect you a lot more. You're going to feel the darkness. We're trying to spend our time getting away from it as much as we can with every part of our lives and to live holy and pure and just feel God's presence and pray in tongues and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know. So that's why you're sensing that some people it's limited the time you can spend with them. You can only spend limited time, and then you start absorbing too many of their beliefs and whatever, their false stuff, you know. We're just a few light bulbs in the world of all the darkness out there. We're like, it's all dark, and you can see a few little lights, and that's us.
I think we also feel a sadness because we have the joy of the Lord, and we want them to have that also, and that causes a sadness too, and that you can't communicate that to them like you want to. But we do have the assurance of praying for them. God, you know, wants us to pray and cover them with His precious blood, you know, and that gives us consolation that they are covered, even though they don't understand where we're coming from or what we're about or anything. You know, I have that peace within me. I pray for them. I trust them to you, Lord, even though they don't understand me and I can't really talk. I have the joy, or if you want to call it that, the peace maybe is a better word, that I have prayed for them and I'm trusting you to bring them about. Maybe they got to get clunked on the head a little bit, but they're going to make it because I've asked you to have them make it. So I go back to, but then you go back, then we go back into ourselves again, like Jerry and, you know, you're all saying, is that, you know, we're still having this relationship with Christ, or we're getting ready to be transitioned, we're seeing things more clearly. I mean, the world is such a freaking mess, it's unbelievable. And
it is.
It's like, I know, that bothers me, because when I hear people in the mountains, you know, running and dying of thirst, and now we're dropping stuff to them, and finally we're going after the ISIS thing, you know, it's like trying to keep equilibrium of some kind of peace or contact with God. Like, this is going on. I'm trying to believe in you, and I do believe in you, and have that peace of our relationship, but I'm seeing the world go to hell, you know, and all the suffering.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm trying to bridge the gap between how I feel about that and my very strong and wonderful faith with Him. And it's painful, because you can't stand the world the way it is, because if you love Jesus, you love everybody. And when you see children and mothers and everybody going through what these poor people are going through, Hamas being a jerk again and bombing, and just the mindset, the evil mindset. I mean, we're not robots, you know. We feel.
Yeah,
Don't
be deceived, Pat, because we are not going after ISIS. I have looked into it. We are only going after the city, Erbil, where our military personnel are.
We'll
we are not
them.
Going after any other. We're dropping a few food packets to the people. What we are not.
Going
why would we not
shebang.
Go? Why would we not go and bomb ISIS a long time ago? I'm thinking, why are we not going after ISIS anyways?
Exactly.
Why are we just sitting there? Why are we doing nothing? We're only protecting our personnel on that city, and that's it. So don't be fooled. This is a false campaign.
Yeah, but it's still all the suffering.
Not,
yeah.
Take it going, and there is a lot of suffering. It's going to get worse.
Oh, there's
and
Ebola. Now they're saying it's a worldwide thing. You know, I mean, I don't lose my head over this stuff, but you know, maybe because I'm a mother and a woman and a wife, you know, I feel more for these people. Like how terrible that they have to go through all this. The only thing I can see good out of this is that it's making the rest of the world wake up and realize.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing to come out of this, I think. They'll wake up and they'll have a think like, whoa.
I mean, if you read the Bible and if you read in Matthew about the horrible things that are, if you read about the complexity and this craziness of the world before Jesus comes back, then you look in the world now, it matches.
It's here. It's right at the door.
Yeah.
I mean, it's here, period.
Fear and craziness around the world, and that's exactly what those verses talk about. People running for fear and this and that. And that's
we're the generation
now.
Looking at all this, like you said, the few light bulbs in the world, and it ain't easy.
No.
It ain't easy being one of them light bulbs, honey.
I have a question.
I think that's what I'm saying all the way around. It ain't easy. we'll make it, and we'll hang on, and we'll be okay, but it hurts.
What'd you say, Katie?
Yeah.
You know how, like, God said he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh and sons and daughters will prophesy, all that stuff?
Yeah.
So I was asking my mom, I was like, Mom, do you not feel his presence really strongly? And she's like, no. I'm like, it just really worried me. I'm like,
pray for her,
honey. He poured out on all flesh. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Just keep praying.
What was she saying about that, Katie? She was saying it's not true?
Well, she was just saying, like, she doesn't feel his presence. And, like, I've never felt it this strong before, you know?
She doesn't feel his presence?
I can only seem to remember the time ever since then it's been like that.
You got to be in the right place, though. You know, if your mom's not in the right place for God right now, which I already told you she wasn't, then she's not going to be feeling his presence, you know? And that's just the way it is, you know? There's a whole church out there, Katie. Thousands of people, millions of people in the Christian churches and all the churches out there, and they don't feel anything of God. They don't even know what God said the other day in some prophecy. He said, if you're not hearing my voice from the Holy Spirit that I am coming back soon, then something is wrong with you. Because these churches say they love the Lord and blah, blah, blah. Then why are they not hearing the message that the Lord says, I am coming back?
They're not preaching it, no.
But why are they not hearing it in their spirit? Why are they not hearing the utter urgency in their
spirit?
Right, exactly. It's like, whoa, I'm just shocked. They look at us like we are smoking
crazy.
A good one and we're aliens. And I'm like, you're the alien. You're the one who's smoking the pipe because you're not hearing the Holy Spirit at all. What's wrong with you?
You're right. You're right, Keith. Judy posted a video very much along the lines of some of the things Pat was saying, and her, you know, her heartfelt concerns. And it's graphic image, strong tower video, graphic images of beheaded little kids and brutalized, you know, women
it's
and husbands. And,
it's just,
and I think it's important to put this in not only our context, but God's context. And, he's allowing these things to increasingly so that he's creating increasing messages and pressure for people to consider him. He wants people to turn to him. And how hard must the world's heart be for him to allow this?
Mm-hmm.
As part of the process. And, if everybody would freely turn to him, then this would not be necessary. So, I just think, I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure from what little I know, Katie's mom is not that bad. But I know, but it doesn't really matter because the point is he's doing these things and, or he's not doing, but he's allowing these things to come on people. And in this case, these are Christians who are being attacked for their faith. It is a true genocide of a type. And he is, he's going to use whatever method he has and allow whatever he has to allow to get everybody's attention. And anyway, so the other thing that Judy mentioned when she posted is that we should really pray for all the persecuted Christians and, thank the Lord for his presence in their lives, which he is there with each and every one of them. And he values their eternal spiritual life far more than we value their physical lives. And let's just say a prayer real quick, and I'll just, Father, our heart goes out, and we know your heart and presence is with each and every person who's suffering persecution, and in particular those who suffer persecution in your name. We ask your blessings upon them and their families as they are under this trial, and that they be open and receive your full love and grace before these terrible things fall upon them. We know you're with them, and we trust you for that, and we know that we'll see them soon when you take us home, that we know those who have given their lives are home with you now. So we thank you, Lord, and we ask your peace and restraint as much as in your will as possible, that people would open their eyes and receive your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
We agree.
Amen. That's a really, anyway, these things are ongoing, and, this is another blessing that we have in our nation and in, by the way, many other nations, that they do not have to, are not currently exposed to this degree of brutality and lack of, anyway.
I just find it interesting that, to me, I find it very interesting that the U.S., with all its weaponry, and we're so concerned about Iraq, and now all of a sudden ISIS is overtaking Iraq and all the world, and we're doing nothing. We're purposely only guarding, like, this little city. I'm like, this is really clear that our president is protecting the Muslim caliphate, because why are we not sending drones out, and why are these people stuck on the mountain anyways? Why are we not blasting the people that are trying to go after them? Why are we not? I was thought the other day, wait a minute, why have we not been busy with our weapons? Right now we have drones in Pakistan and in Africa killing Al-Qaeda, but they're not killing ISIS? What is going on? It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. We're purposely protecting ISIS. We're leaving them alone. So as our president does, he just looks the other way. You know why? Because the Lord told me the reason. I said, Lord, what is going on? Why is our crazy, insane president not doing anything about this? And the Lord told me, well, the reason why he's not going after ISIS is because he's only going after that one city, is because of the fact that he's letting them surround Israel to go after Israel. So he does not want to stop
that.
That's right.
That's right. You know, a couple of things. One is just from terms of political observations, whenever we consider political leaders as being sort of idiots and apparently doing stupid things, I learned a long time ago in a practical sense that what that really means is, because these are all highly educated people who are directed with a lot of strategy and planning. So when you see them doing things that appear to be idiotic, what it really means is you don't understand what their motives are. And when you assign motives that fit the results that they achieve, then you understand who they really are.
Because they're being controlled by other people, like you said before.
Right.
That's why, because you're really seeing multiple motives going up from other people and not them,
But from a slightly more spiritual point of view, I mean, I think it's very interesting that, in the last day or day and a half, it took the the possibility of the immediate slaughter of 50,000 Christians for the Pope to finally come out and say something should be done. Even though this has been going on even by ISIS now for months, it took the immediate possible slaughter of 50,000 for him to even bother to issue a statement. And so, you know, we can see the hearts of these people. And,
to Iraq, and I'm thinking, what good is that going to do? Like, what?
I know.
He got killed.
Meantime, he's talking about, you know, one world unity, and we all need to come together in peace and love and blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, they're getting slaughtered. And
talk is talk.
I mean,
Did y'all hear about ISIS is threatening to raise the white flag of Allah in the White House?
Oh, yeah, they're blatant. They're blatant.
Well, I think they're going after, and the next trip is going to be Gaza. So that's because if you look on the map, they've done a whole, the Lord told me that Damascus was next. Well, and the Lord keeps showing me that ISIS is being in Damascus and getting wiped out. Huh?
He told me that, too.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool. So, and then I saw that map with yesterday, which was so awesome, this news article that showed ISIS going in a big circle around Israel.
Yeah,
all the
big
places
circle.
Around it.
Yeah.
And then I posted it on the Facebook, and it showed it. So, like, next is going to be, well, the Bible says, according to Amos,
Damascus.
Next is going to be the Gaza after Lebanon. So they'll do done a full circle. The speed that they're doing this, though, points to rapture this year. I mean, we all know it's going to be any time now, but I'm saying the speed, you know, that they're doing is clearly points to a rapture of this year and not next year, you know. Because I keep saying, well, wait a minute, you know, how come it's not next year? I'm looking at next year versus this year and all the odds, and I'm telling you, I got my calculator out and doing all the math and all my stuff. I look at all the spiritual things, and I look at the physical things, and I'm looking at, because every time with the rapture, it's been delayed by a year, but I'm telling you, everything that I see, it cannot possibly be next year. It has to be this year and any time soon now, just based on everything that I've seen in the spiritual and everything that I'm looking on the physical. It's not possible. It's not humanly possible that it would be next year. In fact, the tribulation has to start this year. It's just a plain fact.
Amen.
You know.
Thank you, God.
What fascinates me is why is there a super blood moon next year? I mean, what really is the significance of that super blood moon? Why is it a super blood moon on a Jewish feast day?
That's going to be some crazy Antichrist, Israel running to the hills. Israel might be running to the you know, that whatever, that I forget the name of that, you know, the place there. They might be running to that mountain thing. I think that's going to be a horrendous event on that super blood moon is what I think.
Something.
We also have two solar eclipses which represent two world wars.
Right.
So that means all these. And, you know, the fact that, remember the Lord told me that Russia was not going home. The troops aren't leaving. Nope, they're moving forward. So Russia is now
moving into Ukraine.
They're ready to start the official Ukraine war. Well,
they want
remember
Ukraine.
I told you, too, that the Lord showed me Psalm 83 wars first. And it makes sense because, you know, all this it's going to have to move fast because no one's going home. So it's going to have to roll really.
That's
and
right.
ISIS is moving at every day. ISIS is taking over a new country.
Oh,
or who knows what. So, but you know what? We have to see this kind of speed, though, because I've been watching the rapture for 4 years, and things would move kind of fast, and then it would all freeze, and everyone would go to sleep, send the ships home, and everybody go back to bed. And I got so tired of the hot, cold, hot, cold. This has been hot, hot, getting hotter by the day and hotter by the hour. So
we've
got
to
see.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pat.
Don't we have troops in Ukraine along the border as well?
Yeah, we do, and that's why.
Where is that going?
That's going to be the world war thing going on there. You know, when that hits.
I mean, that's
going to
be the blanket.
He's trying to crush the dollar.
Know?
Yeah, he's trying to crush the dollar really hard right now because we're purposely screwing up. But you can see, you know, really what the Antichrist has done. He's friends with the enemies, and then he goes against the people that we're for. So he goes against Israel but defends the Muslims. That way you're constantly setting up everybody to fight each other. And then, of course, we're passive at the same time. So you're just constantly setting up all the good side, the bad side, and then, you know, all the And that guy, LV Zavada, whatever, LV Cifo, the one that makes those videos, I don't discern his videos. It's always accurate, by the way. Some of the stuff he says is plainly false.
I hear you.
Point blank that he says the tsunami and the earthquake will hit before the rapture, and I can tell you, point blank, without a shadow of doubt, absolutely not true. Lord's shown me so clear in vision, there's no doubt. We will not be here for the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the meteors that he said will hit Puerto Rico and wipe out half the earth and blow. That's all lies, not true. However, some things he said are true, and one of them he says is that the tribulation will be this year. The rapture will be this year. I've discerned those.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about
December.
I'm talking about now till Keith the Trumpets, you know.
Yeah,
like
I hear you, Keith, and whether it's LV or anybody else, the one thing, you know, I try to keep an open kind of perspective a little bit. And one thing that I think of when I hear these different prophetic messages relative to the timing of the rapture, you know, I think one of the things that we've learned is, and I know I have actually seen indications of, and if you study the rapture, I mean, there are many different types of taking away events. They're in Scripture that, you know, probably infer waves of takings of people. And, you know, perhaps, you know, the last wave is after some of these things. And, you know, and we kind of already know that because we know there are people taken, you know, all the way till just before the final judgment. So, you know, and one of the things, the other things that I've learned from a perspective point of view is we have to remember not all of these messages are for us. And,
yes,
you know,
that's why I subscribe
the Lord,
to them, you know, even though I just don't watch them.
Right,
you know,
right.
You'll hear it all.
Yeah.
Yep. And some of these messages are for left behind people, people who may not even be conscious of God right now. And
well, they will
these messages will speak to when the time comes. And so he's going to provide.
October is the left behind movie, right? You know, October, Jerry, the left behind movie.
October, that's when it comes out?
That's right. I forgot.
Yep.
I forgot. Yep.
Good time.
So he's going to make sure there are messages for every person that will receive them in whatever their states are going to be at the time. And it's, you know, it's just like, for example, the question Pat asked about the blood moons and the super moons. You know, the super moon, the most interesting super moon to me is the one this month. It was, I always found it odd that, you know, like a month, last month or a month and a half ago, there was an article that they sent out about the super moons, and they talked about the one in July and the one in September. And the weird thing was, the way that geometry works is the one in the middle is actually greater than the other two, and that's the one in this month, which is August, because it's a geometrical thing, because the moon orbits offset from the Earth slightly. And so when it's on the part of the orbit that's closer to the Earth, the moon is bigger, appears bigger.
Sunday.
And so there's three of them in a row that are classified by whatever measure as supermoons. And they mentioned July and September in the article, and they didn't even mention August, which geometrically, you know, is even more significant because it's in the middle of the other two. But what I was going to say prophetically about these signs in the heavens, remember, one of the intriguing things about signs in the heavens is that they are prophetic whether or not they come before or after the event, because the machinery to make them happen was placed eons ago in the heavens. So even if, you know, for example, some of the blood moon tetrads and what have you, many of them occur right at or just after these events for Israel have occurred in human terms. But because they were placed there eons before, and then you can see the pattern in history, they're still prophetic and a forecast of what was about to occur. So, for example, there's some other people online I want to bring on here in a minute, but... there's I was just looking sort of in the solar system alignments and the star charts, so to speak, in terms of the planets and so on, which we are told are placed there for times and seasons. And we know that the second of the so-called blood moon lunar tetrads occurs on October 4th. However, if you go a week after that, there is a really, really significant meeting of the moon, the sun, and the planet, and one of the planets, I forget which one right now, and at very near Spica in Virgo. And it's a, you know, it's a, when you see it compared to everything else as all the planets spin around day to day, it's quite remarkable. And whether that marks an exact time, I don't know, but I think it's really interesting that it occurs exactly or very near a week after that lunar blood moon that we're looking for in October. Okay, I want to bring on, I think we have Dave here. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Brother Jerry, Sister Pat. I think it's out there, I believe. I'm sorry?
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of, I want to bring everybody online here that I've got. Sure. I think we've got Chris. Chris, is that you?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? And I've also got, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, and I've got Alana. I think it's Alana. Alana, is that you?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Hi. Sometimes you call in and just want to listen. Are you listening, or do you have something for us?
I do.
Okay. You can go ahead right now. It's a good time if you'd like.
How do I say that? What I have is rather out of rhythm with the feeling that the church is expressing right now. And I don't want to interrupt that rhythm. And it may be inappropriate to do so. Because what I'm hearing is a lot of tension, what I call rapture angst, I have stopped, you know, ages ago, stopped looking at the worldwide news and all of those things. Thus, my rhythm is a little bit different. It's outside of that tightness, and I know that Pat also has a word from Lana, so I'm going to wait because I'm out of rhythm with the flow.
Alana?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, honey.
Okay.
No, my phone went off. I had to put it back on.
Yeah.
Hi, baby. How you doing?
Okay.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Okay, honey. Yep.
Okay. Dave, normally you have something specific on your mind when you call in. Is that the case today?
Yeah. It is. I had something in concurring a response to something that you had said, and something I believe it was Keith had mentioned, and just some scriptures to share regarding those. But I don't want to interrupt anything if I'm in the way. So.
I think that's good. It's on topic. Let's just go ahead if you're ready.
Okay. Well, I believe it was Keith, if I'm not mistaken. Are you out there, Keith? I guess you are. Anyway. He had mentioned,
yeah.
Keith, okay, that talked about in the churches how they just don't seem to get it, you know, these signs or this prophetic signs being fulfilled right in front of us, you know, and you can have good people in church and so on, and when you talk to them again, you know, it's the old deer in the headlights look again. But, you know, there's a scripture in the New Testament, and it's kind of a hard one to swallow in a way. But the word is what the word is on it, and it trumps, really, in my opinion, trumps whatever I want or however I want things to be. It says Jesus Christ is coming back for those who are looking for him and love his appearing. You're familiar with that. I'm sure you
are. Yeah.
Now, there are people that maybe you can think of that seem like, you know, good Christians and so on. And, you know, they're trying to live for the Lord. And yet they're really not looking for him right now, it appears, with some of them. Some of you must have come across some like this anyway. But, you know, my wife and I were talking about this morning, this very thing. And I just had to remember that, you know, okay, the Lord could come back today. It might be tomorrow. It could be later on this year. I don't know. I just know that we're definitely in the season, and this is the end of the end. We're looking at it. But this isn't over yet. Now, it can end tonight, and we could be taken, or it could be a month or two away or 3 months. I don't know. But this isn't over yet. The people that we're looking at, and we go, what is wrong with this picture? Why aren't they getting this?
Right.
God isn't done with this thing until he takes us out. And there can be a situation arise tomorrow that is horrific on this planet and shakes them out of their slumber or their persistent, you know, churchianity with many of them.
Mm.
And that's, to them, that's what their life is, that churchianity. To them, that is real Christianity with many of them. And they just don't understand what Jesus, they don't get it. I mean, he's coming back for those who are looking for him and love his appearing.
Thank you, Dave.
And many people, as you know, are saying, well, I really wanted to get married. I want to get my degree. I want to get a job. I wanted to buy a motorcycle and go travel around, whatever it is, okay? And thank God that he's not at this moment just yet done with these people. And it can be people that seem to love the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
We have to line up with this word. I have to line up. He's coming back for those who are looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that's a hard word. It's a hard one to swallow when you start looking at all these Christians that they're out there, and we should esteem others as better than our own selves. So I would choose to do that, but they're not looking for him, many of them, and it could be problematic. Jerry, you had mentioned something. You had mentioned also something about praying for those that were being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe it was Paul that had mentioned, Apostle Paul, you know, he said, remember, you know, those that are in bonds as they're with them, okay? People that are being persecuted, mm-hmm. they're on the run. I'm talking about the true blood-bought, born-again Christians right now. These are our brothers and sisters that are on the run here, not there in other parts of the world. And we should remember them that are in bonds as they're with them. I mean, that was an enlightening word for me when I read it a couple of years ago. I changed my prayer life a little bit about things. And instead of just kind of putting it off to the side and on the back burner, the Lord brought it more up to the front burner. He said, David, you need to remember those that are in bonds as though you were there with them, sitting in that prison cell or running for your life or whatever. So these are just a couple things I wanted to mention. And then I just found it interesting. You're talking about ISIS. Just a thought. Maybe you've covered this. But it is interesting, isn't it, that ISIS has attacked the Iraqi government, which is not a Sunni government. That's my understanding. They're into Lebanon, and Lebanon is, I don't believe that's Sunni, unless you can correct me on that. It's just interesting that these things that the White House so often wants to overthrow, it seems, by using their means in the Middle East and the Arab Spring and all this, obviously they want more radical governments than some of the Shiite, and I'm not pro-Shiite, don't get me wrong, and I'm not Muslim, and I hate it. I just believe Islam is Allah is a demon as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, it's just interesting that if you look at the ISIS Shiite separation and watch what's happening, keep an eye on what is overthrown, what the attempt is being made here. Is it to overthrow Sunni governments, or is it to attempt to throw over Shiite governments? And I just wonder if Mr. O is Shiite or Sunni. My understanding is he came out of a Sunni background. I mean,
I see what you're saying, David. I would just sort of like to interject because I see where you're going. But here's the thing. On the Son of Perdition, he has been positioned very strategically and through a lot of things. And after, here's the way I look at it. The KGB believes they have influence with him. Israel, at least until recently, believe they have influence with him. The CIA believes they control him. You know, there's a political party that believes they control him. There are even industrialists who believe that they control him. And I believe that no one controls him and that no one has his allegiance. The Islamics believe that they control him, and so on and so forth. The secret society people believe that they control him or have influence.
He'll do what he wants. He'll do what he wants.
I think he has been very strategically placed so that everyone believes they have an undue influence with him. And that's what makes him so incredibly dangerous, is because he puts him in a perfect position to betray each and every one of those trusts in a manner to create an unbelievable conflagration at a specific moment in time. And that's what I believe we're seeing being stitched together right now. It's not just the Illuminati, and it's not just the satanic element of the CIA. It is not just Islam. It is not just the Brotherhoods. It is not just Hindi or Hinduism. It's not just any of them. It's not just the KGB. He has been... I believe all of these important areas, you know, of influence in the world, whether they're regardless of their motivations, I think they all have. And so, the Sunni Shia thing is just a very easy one to apply. But I think if it's easier to look at the results of what he's doing, and the results of what's being done here is everybody's collecting around Israel. I think it's no mistake whatsoever that Christine Lagarde, in her January IMF speech that we parsed through a little bit, and this was not included. The original sort of analysis video that got a lot of people aware of this thing, they cut it off before she said these statements, but I went back and looked at the rest of it. She very specifically said something about the IMF and the goal of adding 200 million jobs. Well, that number is right out of Revelation, and it's the size of the army that marches across the Euphrates from the so-called East. But that word East is exactly the same word that's used in Revelation chapter 16. And it relates to the word, the French version of the word, which is Levant, L-E-V-A-N-T.
Yeah,
and so she's talking about 200 million jobs as being significant equity. Well, in a world of 7 billion people, 200 million jobs really is a drop in the bucket. However, if you're talking about an army, well, that's a whole other deal, and that's why it's so significant. And so, you know, what's the incentive for them? They're talking about a 200 million man army that they're sending to, against Israel, and they're taking they're taking charge of and destabilizing and restabilizing to their benefit the Middle East. And this ISIS thing is no mistake that it has in the West. It has this sort of Egyptian goddess name, and so you know, everything is coalescing. It's happening, and probably.
You guys mind if I chime in real quick?
No, go ahead, Chris.
This just been, you know, this has been on my spirit a lot lately while we're talking about, you know, Obama. And I believe what's going on right now, I haven't had a prophetic word on it, but I really felt it heavy on my spirit that this is what's playing out. How Obama has been... Well, not Obama himself, but him, whoever's pulling his strings, whatever, and the control of the mainstream media and how they've been trying to demonize Israel for their just today, another post came out about most of the Gazans that have been hit have been children, and most of the dead are civilians and children, and blah blah blah. And they're trying to. At the
well,
same
they
time,
are actually.
Trying,
they are though, and there's a reason
I do know
for
they
it.
Are,
they,
yes, but
they never tell you the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
And the,
go ahead.
Well, the reason is they force these people at gunpoint to hang out around targets that they know the Israelis have to hit from a military
exactly.
point of view.
This is,
wow.
This is what I believe is. I believe all this ties into America now making it look like they're standing up for the Christians in Iraq. What I believe is going on, I believe that tied in with ISIS circling around Israel, along with, you know, they're demonizing Israel at the same time that they're striking targets in Iraq. I believe that Obama's putting his presence over there now. So here shortly, in the near future, very near future, he can come around and he's got his presence in Iraq. He's going to... I'm sure there'll be some kind of he hits the wrong targets or blah, blah, blah. I really wholeheartedly think he's using the American military right now to aid ISIS in their surrounding of Israel. So that way, once he aids them in the surrounding of Israel, while the media is putting out that Israel is the bad guys, then Obama is going to team up with ISIS to attack Israel and use our military to do it. And right now he's aiding them. I don't believe he's hitting the targets that he's saying he's going to be hitting. Same with the humanitarian aid. I really felt when he said humanitarian aid, I said it as a joke to some friends on Facebook saying, yeah, he's dropping a humanitarian aid. He's probably dropping weapons for ISIS. You know, and then I thought that was a good on me, but that's a good possibility. You know,
it's
all playing into one big strategic move that's going to happen right quickly for them to attack Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, Israel's the bad guy. We've got him surrounded, blah, blah, blah. Now Obama's going to help ISIS. Then he comes out with the white flag, in the White House, you know. That's where...
Right.
Well, they said they've got their man in the White House. They know it.
What do you think, Jerry?
Keith, did you have something you were going to say? I thought I heard Keith or
not
Dave.
Sure
maybe
about
it was Dave?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, go ahead. That's okay. I was
just saying real quick.
Clarify.
I listen. I don't know. I understand what you're saying, Chris. I'm not so sure on that. So I'm not feeling that right now. But
they're
definitely a good thing to keep looking into because the more you look at this stuff, the more we find. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
haven't had any words from the Lord on it. It's just been really heavy on my spirit, and I'm looking at the puzzle pieces, and I'm watching them start to fit together. And I know
at the
end of the puzzle, Obama is going to come out as the caliphate leader somehow. He's going to these puzzles are all adding up to that.
Yeah, Chris. You know, we've only got. A little over a minute right now. And one thing I do want to do is, and this, I'm sorry, this is a little bit of an abrupt turn, but honestly, I know a little bit about where Alana was going, and we really need to be careful about letting the messages and the news sources of the world drive the depth of our understanding of what may happen, because I think certainly prophecy is a good clue, and I also think our leading is important. But we're very fortunate to not be under the persecution, either of those that are now being attacked or those who will suffer persecution in the future. And I will just sort of declare a prayer over them on our behalf. I think... You know, we should absolutely rest in his peace. And I know what many of us have experienced recently is is a growing closeness to him, and these other things can be a distraction from that. So while we can see these events and as prophesied, I think we don't want to promote the fear in them. We can be prayerful and share God's love, and I really think I know that's kind of where Alana wanted to go, and
yeah,
I think
true.
that's where we should always rest.
True.
It's where we should
very
always
true.
Rest in that. And I wouldn't have taken that sharp of a turn at the end of the show, except for the fact that it was basically the end of the show. So anyway, I just want to share that, and you know, we need to all remember to rest in Him, and that you know, no matter how awful a thing is, God is in it somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, the love
totally.
Of our Christ Jesus is in it somewhere, no matter how awful
yeah.
the thing is. And He will
yeah.
be there for those
yeah.
people.
Yes.
For those people.
Yeah. Amen. Very
amen.
True.
So I'm going to...
Yeah.
I'm
Lord
going
Jesus,
to,
come.
yeah, absolutely. Now and with yesterday... That's what we need. We need Him yesterday. Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Hey, Keith, this
that,
one
Lord.
Is this one's for Keith.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, my song.
Touch me in the pouring rain, and the moment that you wander far from me, I want to feel you in my arms again. And you come to me on a summer breeze, keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave, and it's me you need to share.
They all should let us be.